May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's easy to imagine that the Judaism in the time of Jesus and before was a simple unified religion that spoke with one voice. This was far from the case. In the time of Jesus himself, there were different voices and interest groups within Judaism: the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and the Essenes, for example. And before this, many different viewpoints have left their mark within the books of the Old Testament. In some cases, we can understand these as books that help to balance the viewpoint of one another. They sometimes function as a kind of canonical counterweight or counterbalance for one another. So the book of the prophet Nahum expresses God's anger against the Assyrians for their violence towards the people of Israel. But balancing this is the book of Jonah, which speaks of God's mercy and forgiveness even to bitter enemies such as the Assyrians. The book of Leviticus provides lengthy and detailed material concerning animal sacrifice. Yet the prophet Hosea proclaims that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. There are at times genuine tensions between the views expressed within the witness of the Old Testament. Tonight's readings from 1 Chronicles and Acts highlights one of these tensions, the tension around the significance of the Jerusalem temple and indeed any religious building. The reading from 1 Chronicles recounts the story of the generosity of the people in giving money and materials for the building of the Jerusalem temple by Solomon. David prays in response to this generosity and acknowledges that all things come from God. Yours, Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. These words are still used by Christians as an offertory prayer. And this was one of the readings that we used at our celebration service for the completion of the People's Cathedral project back in May last year. Quite rightly, we acknowledge the generosity of many who gave for the sake of the refurbishment of this wonderful building, whilst acknowledging that all that we have comes first from God. The reading from Acts is taken from Stephen's sermon before the high priest and other Jewish leaders. He rehearses the whole history of God's people. He reminds them that before the Jerusalem temple was built, their ancestors used the movable tent in the wilderness as a symbol of God's presence with them. He quotes the words of the prophet Isaiah that God does not dwell in houses made by human hands. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things, he says. There is a fundamental tension or ambivalence concerning the role of a building within Israel's faith, just as there was indeed ambivalence concerning the role of a king. While we might be tempted to see such tensions as negative, actually, they need not be viewed in this way. They can be held together in a creative and positive way. Yes, worship, sacrificial or otherwise, does matter. But that must never eclipse the importance of mercy. Yes, the temple and religious buildings are good, But never forget that God doesn't really dwell in houses made by human hands. You could say that religious buildings, such as the Jerusalem Temple or an English cathedral, are very significant, but are not of ultimate significance. So what should be of ultimate significance for you and me? There are some clues in and beyond our readings tonight. Towards the end of his prayer, David says, "I know, my God, that you search the hearts and take pleasure in uprightness." Later again, he says, "Grant to my son Solomon that with single mind he may keep your commandments, your decrees and your statutes, performing all of them." It was because Solomon and so many of his successors did not keep God's commandments that the Old Testament says the Jerusalem temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Stephen, in his speech, puts it differently. In the verses following our reading, he goes on to say, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ear, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do." He continues, "You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." How would I summarize that message? I would say that Christian buildings are very important, but even more important is Christian discipleship. Theologians talk about Christian discipleship using all sorts of images. One very common one is a Christian is someone who follows Christ. Seems obvious enough. Running the race, fighting the good fight, or becoming more Christ-like are others. However, Archbishop John Sentamu offers a more profound image. He says that a Christian is someone in whom Jesus Christ lives yet again. A Christian is someone in whom Jesus Christ lives yet again. If you were to reflect upon your own Christian discipleship using one or more of these images, how do you think you're getting on? Are you treading water? Have you changed or grown in your faith and your Christian character over the last few months and years? If so, in what ways? Are you stuck in one place because of a particular issue or experience that you are struggling to move beyond? Do you have anything like a rule of life that shapes your life in relation to things like reading the Bible, prayer, financial giving? When you read or hear the stories of Jesus, do you stop to think how your story, life, and experience connects with that of Jesus Christ? This interaction between the story of Jesus and your and my stories is the very engine room of Christian discipleship. And if you ask me what kind of Christians do I think God needs to serve him in the 21st century, this would be my reply. People who can perceive the activity of the Holy Spirit in their own lives and in the lives of the people and community around them and in the wider world, and who can respond appropriately. Discipleship is a particular focus in the life of our cathedral in 2019. Actually, to be honest with you, it should be a primary focus for any church or cathedral all the time. This is why our God for Grown-Ups group is happening this year and will continue to happen. The same is true of Lent and Advent groups, and no doubt other initiatives besides. Christian buildings really matter, but Christian discipleship matters even more. Our growing into Christ-likeness and obedience to God, working with and not opposing the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the calling and task to which every one of us must attend. And quite frankly, this is all that will matter when one day we dwell in the heavenly Jerusalem and worship in its temple.